Hi there, and welcome to the Proud to Be of Rust and Glass podcast. Today's guest is Denise Phillips, who owns and operates Perrysburg-based independent bookstore Gathering Volumes. You're a friend of both WGTE and the local creative community. You are a small business owner second almost at this point, and a supporter of the literary arts first, and I absolutely love that about you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to sit and talk with me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I look forward to talking all things books and book lovery-ish with you. But before we get into the support you offer the community, I would love an opportunity to get to know Denise a little bit more. Who were you before you conceived this idea to open a bookshop?
So a couple iterations, but probably the most impactful part of my life prior to this was I worked in IT for 20 years.
Oh,
so I was a IT project manager prior to opening a bookstore. So I was a techie. I was a big nerd. I came into the workforce right before Y2K. So I was a Y2K consultant. I worked for a large financial organization in Chicago when I met and married my husband and had my kids. And then when my oldest was close to school age, my husband had grown up in Perrysburg and we moved back to Ohio to be closer to family. Mm-hmm. My family was up in Michigan, so we were closer to them as well.
Cool.
And came to Ohio as a project manager in IT and realized pretty quickly there were no independent bookstores near me, which made me sad. So once I vested in my 401k, I decided to take the leap and open an independent bookstore because really wanted there to be an independent bookstore.
That's amazing.
Community.
If you see something missing and something that you really want, why not go for it and make it happen? Right?
I have a lot of people that ask me if like this was my dream since I was a kid to own a bookstore, and the answer is absolutely no. I am a super risk averse person. Like the panic attacks came frequently in the beginning. This was never what I thought I would be doing. Truly was be the change you want to see in your community.
Oh, amazing.
And, wanted to see a bookstore.
That's so great to hear. Have you always been a big reader?
Yes, I have always been a huge nerd.
Do you have any books that you remember from early on that were sort of the most impactful on your life?
It's so interesting. So yes, I don't always remember the titles. There's actually a book I read in junior high that I cannot remember the title of, and I have tried to find it out, and I haven't been able to find it, so one day I'll find it. But yeah, there's been a lot of impactful books in my life. But the funny thing is, I don't know that they always, the second read isn't always the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't name the title because I don't want to besmirch any books, but there was a book that I loved as a kid that my grandmother had given me, so it was a classic,
okay.
Right? We reread it for a book club because we were all talking about how there were quite a few members of this book club that hadn't read it, and we reread it, and I was like, I think I just ruined it for myself.
The nostalgia didn't quite hold up as an adult rereading it.
Yeah, it wasn't as, I was like, oh. So I am not a big rereader. I could probably count the number of books I've reread on my hands. I'm not a huge
It's also reader. Really interesting to see the way time changes some of these books. I mean, as society changes, as you know, our norms change, as politics change, and as, you know, the way we view the world and the way we approach the world changes, a lot of these stories, their context doesn't make a whole lot of sense anymore, or you reread it and you're like, ooh, this is not in good taste anymore.
and it was not that. The book that I reread wasn't that it was
just not quite as magical.
I think when you read something, one of the other books I've reread, and I will name this one because I'm going to be very positive about it, is Ken Follett's Pillars of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it in my early 20s, right after I had studied in London for a semester and I had taken a class on appreciating architecture. So the first time I read it, I was all into the whole, it's about a mason, right? And mm-hmm. he wants to build a cathedral. And I was all into the architecture pieces of it. And I really enjoyed it. The second time I reread it again was for a book club, you know, after I was a wife and a mother,
mm-hmm.
and reading it the second time, I was really focused on the women in the book.
Okay.
And the fact that there was a woman in medieval England who owned her own business. And I was like, wow, that was like, I wouldn't, you know, even realize mm-hmm. that was an option. So I was really more focused on the moms and the wives mm-hmm. and the women in the book. And it was almost like reading another book.
Oh,
but it was
yeah.
awesome both ways. So yeah. I highly recommend that book to everybody.
As you change as a person, your lens on the story changes. It's a beautiful
Absolutely.
Thing.
What you're focusing on.
One of the earliest books I remember sort of setting me off on the fantasy and science fiction, you know, adventure that I've been through the last 30 years was an abridged version, an illustrated version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And I just recently listened to the unabridged audiobook as an adult, and it was a completely different experience. As a kid, it was, I got lost in this fantastical journey in the sea with the narwhal and, you know, being able to walk on the bottom of the ocean and discover these underwater villages and these underwater cities and Atlantis and all that. It was just magical as a kid.
Yeah.
And when you listen to it as an adult, it's technical, it's sciencey, it's like, but it was still a nice, fun adventure for me to go on.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to see it through a different lens as you get older.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's not many books I've reread, just like you. There are a couple that I reread over and over again every 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it's always fun to find a new adventure.
Yeah, there's so many books out there. It's hard to.
How do you pick which ones to bring into the shop?
So that's one of the things about being an independent bookstore, right? So some of the books that are in the shop are because I'm super excited about them. A lot of the books are because I'm super excited about them, or my employees are super excited about them, right? But some of them are truly about our customers, and that's what being an independent bookstore is supposed to be about. So so I have a customer that reads a lot of faith-based books during Lent, right? So I know that that's what they're going to be looking for, and that's coming up, right? So so I'm always kind of looking for a new great faith-based books at that time, right? I have another customer who reads all the big name thrillers. So even though that's not my genre and it's not something that I'm super excited about, I bring those in because I know he's going to come in looking for those. Cool. I have a lot of families that come in. So the, you know, next book in a series like Wings of Fire for middle graders, I know, you know, so a lot of it, you'll see me in a lot of the books in the store, but you also hopefully will see the community and the readers and our customers in a lot of the books in the store.
That's one of the beautiful things about small businesses in a smaller big city like ours. You get an opportunity to really get to know your people, and you really have a unique chance, unlike some of the chains or some of the bigger box stores, not just bookstores, but restaurants, every kind of business, where you really get to make it a unique experience for everybody, and they get to become part of your little family, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. That's the goal. Like that, in naming the store Gathering Volumes, that was kind of part of the naming of it, was, you know, not only gathering books, right, but people and stories and volumes, right? So yeah, that's always the goal. I think most independent bookstores, that's why people go into it, is they want to be part of the community and they want to make the community a welcoming space for everyone.
I love it. I am a huge advocate for small business, especially if people have a great idea and something they're passionate about to bring to the community. What have been some of the biggest struggles for you in getting a small business going and keeping it going?
I will 100% admit that my biggest failure ever is marketing in every way. I am really not a good marketer. So getting people to even realize we're there. So we've been there 8.5 years now, and we still have people who, when I tell them I own a bookstore, they're like, there's a bookstore in Perrysburg. And, you know, and it's like, I try everything. So marketing is by far probably my biggest failure. But at the same time, the most like, the greatest feeling is when somebody comes in and says, oh, I came in because my friend, my daughter, my cousin, my aunt told me I had to come in because this is a great bookstore, right? So word of mouth is probably still my best marketing tool because I fail at all the other marketing tools. Also, it's my favorite because that's the best feeling in the world when it's like somebody came in because somebody else told them to put that effort in, right? Like it's an effort to go out to, it's an effort to leave your house anymore, it feels like. And they put that effort in because somebody told them that it was a great place to go.
It's almost like when somebody recommends you a book, but at a whole different level, right? Somebody's recommending you a person.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Do you have any advice for anybody who wants to get into small business ownership?
Oh, goodness. Again, I'm a total nerd. So, of course, you know, read everything, like get all the feedback. Yeah. Know that, you know, you're going to spend 80% of your time doing the stuff that isn't what excites you. Like I spent all morning doing accounting, which is not my favorite thing to spend my time on. So there is a lot of work that is not necessarily what you're looking to do when you open your small business. I would love to say that I'm successful enough that I could outsource all of the work that I don't want to do, but I'm not that successful. So I still have to do it.
I think even really, really big, well-established 20, 30, 40 year businesses, they still, small business margins I mean, you can't outsource everything. You have to take a lot of that on as an owner.
Yeah.
Hope that you have a really good cast of people around you, which mm-hmm. you do.
I do, absolutely.
I know, for example, we always utilize Brian and your kids, and we put them to work.
Yeah, I have a great family that helps. And I have three employees. Amazing. And two are authors, so that's cool too. So absolutely, use the tools you've got at your disposal, but you're still going to end up having to do some of the stuff that I clean the bathroom, like, out of the store. Like, again, I probably could outsource it, but I'm not successful enough to outsource the bathroom cleaning yet.
So as what Gathering Volumes is today, which I'm going to be so excited to jump into soon, mm-hmm. is it what you pictured it when you first started?
Oh, that's such a good question. I don't know that I've thought about that a lot. Yes, because I do feel like the main goal was to be a community bookstore and to be part of the community. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it has done that. Like, I feel like people feel like it's a safe place to go on a day they're just not having a good day, and they know it'll be hopefully a bit of a warm hug on a day that's not the best. I also want them to come out on their best days too, but I do feel like we get quite a few people in who maybe just need a comforting mm-hmm. space. So in that way, yes, absolutely. In other ways, maybe not. But again, I was guessing in the beginning what the community wanted in a bookstore, and now I feel like we have created what the community wants in a bookstore. So, you know, my sections have changed. The number of books in a particular shelf mm-hmm. is different maybe than what I thought mm-hmm. it would be in the beginning, because now I know what people are looking for and what they're going to come into the local bookstore for, right. if that makes sense.
It does. It does. And it's almost sort of a minor part of what you do, the books on the shelf. I mean, mm-hmm. they're obviously a very important part, but you spend so much time doing things for the literary community, the local literary community, from author readings to, you mentioned already, you know, you do the book clubs, you do all kinds of festivals. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is so important that we have people doing work like that for the community?
Well, I think most people would be shocked to know the number of authors in Northwest mm-hmm. Ohio. I think because so much of our daily news, our shopping, you know, just everything we do in our day-to-day, a lot of it has been pushed out of the local community. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people do a lot of their shopping online. Like, a lot of people do, you know, their grocery shopping gets delivered, or they just go pick it up. They don't actually go in the store anymore. So a lot of the stuff we do in our day-to-day isn't as involved in our local community as it feels like it used to be. And again, I may be thinking more nostalgically than is reality. So I don't know that everybody really realizes how much amazing talent we have locally. So part of it is trying to support that and trying to educate people on the fact. So a lot of times when people come into the bookstore and they're looking for a book, I'll see them pick up a local author, or they'll ask me for a suggestion. I'll be like, this is an Ohio author, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is a really amazing Ohio author that writes sci-fi, right? And usually they love that. And, you know, you're not going to see that on Book Talk, right? Like, the book, you're not going to know that this famous Book Talk author is an Ohio author or not an Ohio author. Right. So I feel like a lot of the ways people get their information nowadays, they don't get as much of the local.
It's whatever's big in the moment nationally.
Yeah.
And it's usually somebody from the East Coast or the West Coast,
yeah,
or some random person from Maine, or, you know.
Yeah. So I love when we can connect somebody with somebody who they might actually have a chance to, like, meet in person mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, and they might see a little bit of that local philosophy maybe in the writing as well, mm-hmm. right? Or you're going to recognize this landmark that they're talking about, you know, off 75. So yeah.
That's a really cool
Did
thing.
I answer the question?
You did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You introduced me to a local author living in Columbus now, Dan, mm-hmm. and we've now had a couple Zoom meetings. You know, I've asked him a lot of questions about his career, and, uh-huh. and it's just amazing that there's a place where you can go and actually humanly connect with people, you know, writers that you look up to as a writer, mm-hmm. writers that you enjoy reading as a reader. Who are some of the coolest some of the most exciting local and regional authors that you've been able to work for? I know the list is long.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know we could probably talk about them for 3 days, but
I'm horrible at ranking things, too. My kids are always like, what's your favorite this? And I'm like, I'm terrible at that. I don't rank things very well. But like you mentioned, Dan Stout. Everybody gets sick of me recommending Dan Stout's books to them, I think. But
he's such a cool dude, too.
His books are so much fun. Mm-hmm. It's such a fun escape. So he writes sci-fi, the Titan Shade series, or the Carter Archives, it's actually called, but the first book is Titan Shade. So in my head, it's Titan Shade.
Yeah, and it's kind of more local. What's the Jim Butcher who writes the fantasy crime
very,
stuff?
Very, very similar to
but
Jim
it's
Butcher.
It's local. It's Ohio, and it's awesome to read.
Yeah, and he's so much fun, and it's so entertaining. And Kate Michelson is fairly new. Her first book, Hidden Rooms, came out last year, and really fun mystery. And just love her writing. And Jennifer Pullen is a writer who's also a professor in Ohio. They're both authors that, like, when we do have them come in and speak, they speak as beautifully as they write. And I would just sit and listen to them talk all day. Like, I could just, like, sit and listen to them talk. And I love that interaction of when they come in and talk. I'm like, wow. Like, they must not have to edit as much as a lot of authors because they speak beautifully as well.
I bet they've practiced speaking over and over and over and over again.
So? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it just comes naturally to some people. It does not to me. I think I speak at about a seventh grade level if I were to judge myself. So, yeah. So there's some local authors that just beautiful writing. And then who else is someone I recommend all the time? Oh, Kelly, who's one of my employees, always recommends Joe Segura, who's a local romance author. Or she has connections locally. I don't think she lives here any longer, but has a lot of Toledo connections. Mm-hmm. Who else do I recommend all the time? I feel like people get sick of me because Kat Rambo is she lives in South Bend now and is from South Bend originally. She's also sci-fi. And like for the people like me who love the found family trope, she is like chef's kiss found family trope author.
Do you, being around all of these amazing writers and creative people, do you ever think you have a book in you and you want to try to write a book someday?
I did write a book once, but it was more of a therapy. I wrote it after my dad passed away. For me, it was more therapeutic than anything else. No one else has ever read it. I did write it. I went through and did edits, but it was really just for me.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know if I am brave enough to put something out into the world and to ask other people to read it versus just writing for my own mental health.
That part of it, that first part of it doesn't get any less terrifying the more you do it. Trust me. But
I don't know that I'm that brave.
But I mean, even just therapeutic for yourself writing, I think, has a lot of benefits. Mm-hmm. Anybody who is afraid of hopping in and writing something, telling their own story, even just to themselves, I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. It is an amazing practice, amazing daily practice to just get your thoughts out there. It brings a lot of clarity. It helps you be more creative in other aspects of your life, like running a bookshop and coming up with different kinds of events and things like that. So that's really cool. And you mentioned maybe five people. There's probably, 70, 80, 100 or more that you've worked with over the last 8.5 years?
Yes.
So it's a very, very small fraction of those people, some of which we've had on this show before, too.
Yes.
So that's very cool. One of the other amazing things you do, not only for authors, but for readers, one of the things that I admire the most is the work you do to inspire a love for reading and a passion for that in the younger community. A lot of people say reading and print is dying and people don't read anymore, which is complete crap, right? I mean, as a bookshop owner, you know that's not true. It's not. And I think I see people reading more and more in the younger generation. I don't know if that's true or not, but you do something that's very cool called the Northwest Ohio Teen Book Festival, where you actually bring authors in and introduce these authors in panel format and one-on-ones, small groups for teenagers to come in and meet authors that they love.
Yes, absolutely.
Where did you get the idea for that festival, and how do you think that's impacting our community?
So I got the idea for the festival. I was at a book conference for booksellers, and the owner of Blue Willow Books was speaking on a panel. Mm-hmm. And down in Houston, they have probably one of the biggest YA book festivals in the country, and they are the bookstore for that festival. And they were talking about that festival, and I thought, well, we could totally do that. And I'm kind of, that's kind of my mentality on everything is we could do that and then try to make it happen. So I found a group of like-minded individuals who were willing to put in the time with me. And so it's always been a committee-led event. So mm-hmm. I definitely don't do it on my own or
yeah,
even.
You have a large group of very amazing volunteers
yes.
and helpers that
yes,
are just as passionate as you are about this kind of thing.
Yes, 100%. And so our actual first planned Northwest Ohio Teen Book Festival was scheduled for the first weekend in April 2020.
Of course it was.
Yes.
Why not?
So it was supposed to be at Bowser High School. It was all planned. The authors were all lined up, and we had to cancel mm-hmm. 3 weeks before the festival. But it was great learning experience for those of us putting it together. And 2 years later, we came back.
I was
going
to say,
with all that knowledge,
that's a really unique way to, I'm sure, work out a lot of kinks and figure out things that you were doing wrong and things that you can do better with absolutely no consequences at the end. Like,
yeah,
we messed up all this stuff along the way, but
yeah. And then just cancel it 3 weeks beforehand, and you have all that knowledge.
And it's not even your fault that got canceled.
I know. So we came back and did it again. So 2025 is going to be our fourth
yeah.
official festival, our fifth time planning a festival. And I'm super excited. Mm-hmm. We have authors coming from all over. We have authors coming from California, New York. I believe one of the authors is Canadian, so I think cool. we can officially call it international. So it's super exciting. So every festival, we've had over 20 authors. We've had over 30 breakout sessions for participants to choose from to mm-hmm. participate in. We feed everyone lunch for free. The event is free. We provide bus sponsorships so that schools can send a bus. And so the goal, one of our very top goals, is to make it barrier free so that
very cool.
kids can participate, and we try to eliminate any barrier mm-hmm. that would cause that to them to not be able to mm-hmm. participate.
And I was so fortunate to be invited as a moderator for a few of them. And
yes.
the level of interaction from the students and their engagement with the authors and their excitement just to be there was one of the most beautiful things I've seen in the last, like, 10 years. Being somebody who loves books and is constantly surrounded by people who don't read. seeing these younger people, young adults, being so excited to be in that environment is just amazing to watch.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, so much that gets reported is focusing on the drop in reading,
mm-hmm.
right? I just read an article by two professors that's commented about the fact that they have students coming into their classes who have never actually had to read a novel in school, because so much of the English classes now are focused more on short stories and shorter mm-hmm. writing that they're reading. They like are almost like deer in the headlights and like frozen when they're told to read a whole book. And I was somewhat shocked by that. But if you flip the statistics, right, it's still the majority of kids are still reading. And mm-hmm. the majority of them, over 50%, are still reading for fun, right, if you flip it. So the idea with this festival is, okay, let's find those kids and let's keep them mm-hmm. reading for fun, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's give them a day devoted to them and
right.
helping them enjoy this. We often get asked why we don't do the festival during the week so schools can make it like a school field trip, and then because that would supposedly up the number of kids coming. But I think for us, we're like, no, we're building this for the kids who right. want to come,
right.
you know, and we want to have them meeting other kids that are there because they want to be there, right?
Right?
So even if we end up with less students there, we end up with more engaged
right.
students. So there's pros and cons to both, right? But we want to keep those kids that are reading and that are excited about reading or writing or art. We have, we have a lot of illustrator, graphic novelists mm-hmm. there as well.
You guys do like an escape room too, don't you?
We do. It's Alice in Wonderland theme
that's
this
awesome.
Year. Yeah, super excited. And so that's the goal, is that engagement that you're seeing. So thank you for observing that, because
yeah.
that's part of the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there anywhere... obviously, Gathering Volumes would have a website. Is there anywhere mm-hmm. people can get engaged with this kind of thing?
Absolutely.
You?
So it has its own website. Okay. It's nwo.org. teenbookfest.com. Okay. It also has its own Facebook, and it, we're pretty engaged on Facebook and Instagram. I believe we have a TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, and I don't own the TikTok account, so I don't. I think we're on TikTok, but yeah, the website has everything, including the schedule. We just posted the full schedule for the day for this year, probably about a week ago.
I see a lot of return authors, but also a lot of new faces.
Which is
a nice mix.
So at first we wondered about authors returning, and A, whether they would want to, mm-hmm. and B, whether the students would want to see them again. But I will say Mindy McGinnis was our keynote the first year we were official. The first year, and she's come back every year, and her lines at the Bookfest are always
she's super cool.
Crazy
she,
long.
She makes me feel like just like a rock star of an author. Like if you want to make reading cool again, we need more Mindy McGinnis.
Yeah, she is amazing. So she's an Ohio author. Yeah. Very cool. And she is an author that no matter who I recommend her books to, mm-hmm. they come back. So whether it's a teen, whether it's an adult, her books are engaging for everybody. So we do. We have author and the fact that authors want to come back is also like for me like validation because I'm like okay, because I never know like at what point is it worthwhile for an author, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are we getting enough kids in to make it worth their trip? The fact that they do want to come back to me is validation that it's. The festival is working for everybody, mm-hmm. right? Not mm-hmm. just me, not just, it's working right. for everybody. So we do have authors that return, and then usually they're returning because they have a new book out. Cool. So generally it's authors that are, they have a new book publishing and they want to come share about the new book. So, but it's probably about half and half of authors that are returning and then authors that are new to the festival. So right. Casey West is our afternoon keynote this year, and she's coming from California and she is brand new. So, so the students will not have seen or heard her speak before. Beautiful. And she writes YA romance, which is a pretty popular subject right now.
It's a little hot.
And they're super good. So Rossford is actually organizing, the librarian for Rossford Junior Senior High is organizing a community read around Casey West's Borrow My Heart, which I did read, and it's lovely. It is a romance, but it also is very much family dynamics. Cool. For the main character is going through some stuff with her sister and her mom. So it's a very well-rounded romance. It's not just about the romance,
very
if
cool.
that makes sense.
Very cool. Well, do you have any last reader-ish, bookish words before we sign off? That sounded really bleak, not last words. You know what I mean.
No, just everybody keep reading. Like, I feel like I talk to a lot of people who will come in and be like, I'm in a rut. Like, I haven't read a book in, a few months.
Try something new outside of your usual.
So just put, like, it's... reading is such a great meditative like way to get out of your own head for a bit. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is the time that a lot of us need that. So however you're going to get your recommendations, get a good recommendation, mm-hmm. And just put a short amount of time in like every day. And I think everybody will find they'll get into their groove again. Oh, yeah. I always read before bed. I read a lot of other times too, but I always read before I fall asleep. Like it's my way to slow down and get to bed at night. But I just commit to I'm going to read something, whether it's right. 2 pages and I fall asleep or whether it's 100 pages and right. I fall asleep.
Up till 2 a.m. and the book's almost done.
Yes. Some nights it's a very late night and some nights my brain will not let me read anymore. No, it needs to shut down. But it's my trigger for that. Right. So that's how my body or brain knows that it's okay to fall asleep now. Right. But I think if anyone is looking for something to help them escape the world right now, like reading is a great way to do it. And just commit to, I'm going to read 5 pages. And I think that you'll be surprised how much you end up finishing it.
I love it. Reading is amazing. So, and we're so happy to have you and other people who support local writers and local creatives to have people read their stuff.
Yes.
So it's a beautiful thing. And again, I do appreciate you taking your time out of your day today to come see us. And this has been an amazing conversation with you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all you do to share the local talent with everyone, because
of course we try to do little things to make big waves, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and it is amazing. I think the support you're giving to local artists is amazing. And I think a lot of times people don't realize how much that support really means. So awesome. Thank you for what you do.
This has been today's episode of Proud to Be of Rust and Glass. We are always so geeked about anyone who promotes local arts, but we hadn't had the opportunity to hear about it from the perspective of a local business owner. Denise's creativity in supporting the literary arts is a treasure that we shouldn't take for granted. She does so many amazing things for authors and readers alike that it's constantly blowing my mind. Again, I am your host and producer, Curtis Dieter. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. If you want to join the conversation, check us out at wgte.org/rustandglass. Until next time, thanks for listening. Now go forth and create.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.